Let's pray. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit into this place to move in a mighty way, to illuminate this passage of Scripture and the words that will follow, so that we might hear what you want us to hear, that we might do the things you want us to do in the way that you want us to do them. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture this morning comes from John, the 12th chapter, the 20th through the 32nd verses. This morning I'll be reading from the New International Version, and this portion of scripture is entitled, Jesus Predicts His Death. Hear now the word of God. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the ones who serve me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Today we're in sermon 3 of our series of sermons entitled, Can You Drink This Cup? We began on Ash Wednesday with the sermon titled, The Question, looking at the question, Can You Drink This Cup? Last Sunday, we looked in our second sermon, it was about holding the cup, holding it gently, holding it to understand fully, to sit with the cup, to understand the purpose of the cup and what's in the cup before we drink the cup. Today we are looking at the cup of sorrow, the cup of joy. For it is a cup of sorrow. I don't know how many of you, if you are not one of those people, you're one of the few people that has not followed some of the murder case down in Hampton County or down in South Carolina, the Murdaugh. Any of y'all seen that? Has anybody turned on the news in the last 30 days? Talk about a cup of sorrow. Cups of sorrow that's been brewing for years. Death after death after death. Even after being found guilty and sentenced to 2 life sentences, 90 plus cases of sorrow. Sorrow. In the book, Can You Drink This Cup? Henry Nouwen tells the story of the time in 1986 when he was sent to L'Arche Daybreak, a community for mentally, physically, psychologically handicapped or disabled people. He was sent there as the priest, the pastor of this community, but with his role as pastor, he had the task of caring for a 21-year-old man by the name of Adam. Adam had his own problems. He could not speak. He could not walk alone. He did not show signs of recognition. He had curved back, suffered daily epileptic seizures, and often had intestinal pains. When he met him, he was afraid of him. All he could see was the cup of sorrow of this young man. Unbelievable sorrow. It didn't take long before he realized that Adam had a brother named Michael who was also there. Michael could speak a little and was able to walk by himself and even fulfill a few minor tasks. But he was too severely handicapped and needed constant attention. Both of these were the sons of Gene and Rex. They had cared for their two children until Michael was 25 and Adam was 18. And they did not have the physical ability to care for them anymore. And as Henry Nouwen got to know them, he took on the cups of sorrow for Adam and Michael and Gene and Rex. The sorrow of those parents' unfulfilled goals and dreams for children. Unfulfilled ability to care for their children at all. And the sorrow was overwhelming. The cups of sorrow these people had to drink. And then he began to think of his own sorrow. Unfulfilled dreams. Ways in which he failed. Depression. And no sooner had he thought about those than he met Bill, who has muscular dystrophy there. And he met Tracy, who was completely paralyzed and struggled to find ways to express her feelings and thought. And no sooner than he met them, there was Suzanne and Loretta and David and Francis and Patrick and Janice. And the list goes on. And all the cups of sorrow in that one place. And the sorrow that went with it. His own sorrow. Do you have sorrow? I've got troubles. You got troubles. All God's children got troubles. Many of us think if we can just get out of high school and get out away from our parents, we will have no more troubles. We will not have any more sorrow. And no sooner than you get out of high school and you get out of the house, you realize there is responsibilities and you have sorrows that you never could have imagined. Right? If I can get that job that I have, and I will not have the sorrows, other sorrows. And then I had other sorrows. If I will only get closer to Jesus in my relationship with Jesus, I will not have any more sorrows. I feel God calling me into ministry. I certainly won't have any more sorrows once I go into ministry. And then you realize that my cup of sorrow and your cup of sorrow are the same. There are all these cups of sorrow that you have to drink. All these cups of sorrow that you have to hold on to. And then you think of all the sorrow outside of the place, this place. People who have food insecurities, the homeless, those who are addicted to drugs, the cups of sorrow are endless. unbelievable sorrow. And no sooner than you get here in our area, then you're confronted with the sorrow of the world. I looked this morning and 200,000 people have died in the war in Ukraine. A year ago, one of our preschoolers' mother, who is from Ukraine, asked me to pray for her sister, who was 8 months pregnant. She wanted to get out. She couldn't get out. Then when she wanted to get out, she couldn't get out, and vice versa. And finally, she got out and ends up in Germany and had her baby. And even though she's the mother and the baby and the grandmother of the baby are okay and they're in Germany, there is this sorrow, deep sorrow in the eyes of this woman every single day when she drives through carpool. Sorrow. 47,000 people dead from earthquakes in Syria and Turkey. Unbelievable sorrow. And your sorrows become my sorrows, and my sorrows become your sorrows. Life is full of sorrow, isn't it? And about the time you think you figured it out, we look at the man of sorrow. We look at Jesus, who prayed, "Take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." And when he is actually glorified, Jesus is on a cross with his arms outstretched. And in the midst of whatever sorrows we are facing and other sorrows that we hold on to, Jesus not only has his own sorrows, he's taken on the sorrows of the world, those who have all who have lived and died. The sorrows. Can we drink the cup? Can we drink this cup? When James and John were asked the question, "Can you drink the cup?" they said, "Yes." But when they were in the garden and Jesus was in great sorrow and torment and pain and trying to figure this thing out, "Take this cup away from me. Not my will, but thy will." And he goes, they aren't thinking about drinking the cup. There's no way that Jesus would have been able to go to sleep at that moment, could he? But those who said they could drink the cup were sound asleep. And then he goes back and he says the same, "Thy will be done." And beads of sweat turn into drops of blood. And in the middle of that anguish, the Gospel of Luke tells us something that Matthew and Mark and John do not tell us. In Luke 22:43, it reads, "Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him." In the midst of the depth of sorrow and anguish, he was strengthened. In the midst of the darkness of the night and of the time, there was light. In the midst of despair, there was hope. And those who were in exile in the far country could catch a glimpse of home. And strangely as it sounds, that cup of sorrow contained and was a cup of joy. A cup of joy. You see, for us to be able to drink the cup of sorrow, that cup also has to be the cup of joy. And in the sorrow that Henry now understood, and when he first got to Lough Daybreak, it changed. Because what happened was, he began to live life with Adam and Michael. He lived life with them to the point where they became friends. They ate together, they laughed together, they cried together, they celebrated together, and in the process of that, all the sorrow, and in the midst of that sorrow, there was joy. He found out what we find out with a relationship with Jesus Christ. No matter what is going on in our lives, God is faithful. And this cup of sorrow, there is hope because of the faithfulness of who God is and his great love for us. And there becomes joy in the midst of sorrow. You see, what he is telling us and asking us and imploring us to do is the fact that we need to be present in the lives of each of us, need to be there together. Because until we are willing to be known, we will never know. You see, in the midst of getting to know Adam and Michael and all those people, what he found out was he could see all of their inabilities or disabilities, but they could see his. They could tell when he was impatient. They could tell when he was depressed. They could tell, and they were okay with it. And in the process of a place and a time of all the sorrow, there was joy. Joy in a life lived together. It's a beautiful thing, the kingdom of God, for us to appreciate the days of joy. We need to be able to appreciate the days of sorrow and be there for each other during both. Because in the midst of your sorrow, there's someone else enjoying joy. And when you cannot celebrate, I can celebrate. And when I cannot, you can. And together, we can live together in the midst of sorrow and joy and be all that God created us to be, so that on the darkest days of our life, we can have strength to see and know the joy of our salvation. That's a beautiful thing. But for us to be able to do that, we got to know how to hold the cup. Hold it gently, protecting it, and knowing that it means something, that our life means something, your life means something, and it means something for all of us. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for the cup that has sorrow in it, and the cup that has joy in it, because together it represents life. May we be willing to embrace those in sorrow, and those in our days of sorrow, may we be willing to embrace those who feel joy, so that our lives can be complete, and that your kingdom may come and your kingdom can be known. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.